There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday when we have all-out war going on in a portion of Europe that is a powder keg, to say the least. Glad you're here. Next couple hours, we'll be talking about it with you at 343-0106, 251-343-0106 for the phone lines, also the text. And remember, you've got our brand new app. You can always leave us one of those talkback messages. The microphone icon on the front screen of the app, the FM Talk 106.5 app where you're listening to us, you can press that button and leave us a talkback message. Started in on this late last night, and as the attack began at about 5:55 Ukrainian time, the Russian invasion began. Land, air, sea, cyber, right? I mean land, air, and sea, and cyber, all-out attack. You watch this, the information coming out in bits and pieces. I will say this, as we look through the information today and talk about it, understand that there is some of this coming out that is going to be propaganda from both sides, right? I mean, this there were a lot of pieces of information coming out earlier that the Ukrainian government had fallen and the army had fled. It's not true. It's Russian propaganda to try to get to the hearts and minds of Ukrainians to give up. So I mean, this stuff is going to be coming out. We're going to parse through this as best we can. And hopefully the information we pass along is as close to what is actually true coming out of that war zone there in the far east of Europe. All right, so all-out attack last night. The Russians said they were conducting a campaign to clear Ukraine of Nazis. You heard that. This whole process started earlier in the week with Vladimir Putin recognizing these breakaway states. And then he said, well, when he went in there, he wasn't actually going in Ukraine. He was in the breakaway states. Then it was early yesterday, remember, saying, well, the actual borders of those breakaway states are further west than they said before. So that's now... And then at this point, you know, late last night, our time, early morning, Ukraine time, they said to heck with it and pulled the gloves off. And the Russians are in a full attack of Ukraine, meaning not just isolated to the eastern portion of Ukraine. So eastern portions where they butt up against Russia. On the western side, you have, you know, Poland and Romania, I guess Moldova to some degree there. That's the western side. Well, there are attacks going on the western side as well. It's not just like a front line that's in the east with Russia. As you have the Pinsher movement that we talked about so many times on the show after the last couple of weeks, amphibious assaults coming from Crimea, coming into the south of Ukraine, moving in that way. I've seen a video that I think is legitimate of parachuters, paratroops coming in, the air attack. And then you have, of course, the air attack with fighter jets and helicopters coming from the Russians. You have tanks coming from the east and also coming from the north out of Belarus in this. This is warfare. This is not police action. This is not security keeping. This is war that's going on there. Also, you're looking at a country that has about 44 million Ukrainians. Now, you have the number of people that are in the army officially, over 100,000 in Ukraine. But you've heard the stories of issuing the firearms to Ukrainian citizens. You're going to have a guerrilla-type fighting. You might have the Russians overrun a certain part of Ukraine, and then they have, of course, behind-the-line fighting with guerrillas and partisans. That's probably going to be in play, if it's not already, without just fighting with regular troops, the citizen army in Ukraine as well. you know, you look at the other side here, we talked about it, Jeff and I just did, about the, you know, about what's going to be done against Russia, right? President Biden's supposed to speak around 12:30. You know how that goes, so we're going to keep that fluid. It's when it's supposed to happen. As soon as he does, we'll go to that. We'll go to that presser. But yeah, the sanctions that are going to be rolled out. I want to run through this for a second. The sanctions going to be rolled out are not going to hurt the higher ups in Russia. It's going to hurt the people. But those people, God bless their souls, have grown up suffering and long suffering for many generations, and they're not going to go. They're not voting anybody out. I mean, you know, they have the little play school elections in Russia where they're like, hey, look at all these choices. Oh, look, Vladimir Putin won again. They're not kicking their leader out. There's not an opposition party that has power in Russia to try to argue against what they're doing. So Putin and the other oligarchs are not going to be hurt. And this whole thing that when the sanctions come out today, and they it'll be bigger. But yesterday, remember, the sanctions are going to go after the oligarchs and the moneyed people. I tell you right now, the oligarchs are not dumb enough to have been ramping up this war with Ukraine to leave their money over at Wells Fargo so we could lock it down. If you think the oligarchs are going to be that easy to get on this, I think you're naive on that. So the Russian people will suffer. The oligarchs, I don't think, won't, which will continue to give them strength and energy to pursue this full war against Ukraine. Which, by the way, this coming in too. The one part of Ukraine I would have let them have, Russian troops have said they've retaken Chernobyl. Why you want to retake Chernobyl? We'll get to that story here in a little bit. So some of what's going on right now, Russia, of course, launched this invasion of Ukraine after months of building up military presence. Missiles have been launched. By the way, the latest count, I think, coming out of the Pentagon, they're saying, for what it's worth, in open discourse, around 100 missiles between cruise and ballistic missiles have been, they've got, I guess, signatures for those flying over Ukraine. I imagine way more of those are coming in. Of course, you have the air support launching missiles. You also have helicopters there. I imagine if they're, you know, the amphibious landing, they have the Black Sea there. They probably have naval assets there as well to fire some of those missiles. We started with the commentary here from Putin that said he was going to denazify Ukraine. He was against the Nazis. He also, in this televised speech, said, "Our actions are self-defense against threats." Putin went on to claim he did not have any plans to occupy Ukraine and added, "We do not plan to impose ourselves on anyone." All right. Yeah, all right. He goes on to say this. He says, "Whoever tries to interfere with us, and even more so to create threats for our country, for our people, should know that Russia's response will be immediate and will lead you to such consequences that you have never experienced in your history." Let me point out that region of the planet has experienced a lot of history with war. The wink and the nudge there would be nuclear. As I have said from word go here. Once again, we're talking about a nuclear power. As I talk about the area there, and we can go back to the previous wars in Georgia and Crimea that the Russians have been in. And once again, I'm saying all this, if you're just joining us, I don't want the first American to be there. I do not want the first American to be on the soil of Ukraine. Okay, so get that straight. But we do need to know what we're talking about, what we're dealing with. And if you think that overnight, and I don't know, what happens over the centuries, I'm not sure, but if you think the Ukrainian people will be easily beaten and the white flag of surrender will be up, that they're not warlike as well. I went back, I'm interested in the history of Genghis Khan, Kublai Khan, the Mongol hordes. Loved the exhibit when it came to town. Very interested in that history over time. I started thinking back as the Mongol hordes made it further out of Asia and into Europe. One of those citadels that they came upon and attacked was the city of Kiev. It says here in some reading, so this is the siege of Kiev. This is, take your time machine back to 1240, right? 1240. At this point, Batu Khan and the Mongols began their invasion in late 1237 by conquering the principality of Ryazan to the northeast, which is Russia now. Then in 1238, the Mongols went southwest and destroyed the cities of Vladimir and Kozelsk. okay, as they're moving now towards Ukraine. 1239, they captured both Pereyaslav and Chernihiv with their sights set on the city of Kiev. Okay, so now the word has gotten out that the Mongol hordes are here. They've conquered all these other these city-states and these citadels on their way. They've laid waste to them. When the Mongols got to Kiev, they sent envoys into Kiev to demand submission of the city. Right? You've heard this before. The Mongols would come in and say, listen, just give up and you won't have the, you know, we won't be as tough with you because you give up. Michael Chernigov, Ukrainian, who was the head of Kiev at that time, well, they executed the Mongol envoys that were sent in there to sue for peace. So, just want to point out that maybe, I don't know how much has changed with Ukrainian people from 1240 to 2022, but this may be a little bigger fight than some people are thinking, that it's an over and done. It's, you know, it's a week and a half, it's 10 days, and Ukraine flies the white flag. Now, Russians may very well take the capital, may take the major roads. Obviously, they're shooting up the airports and doing all that stuff, but are they in a quagmire here? They said they don't want to impose their will and stay. Are they going to come in and leave while they're still being shot at by partisan and guerrilla groups? And back here at home, what are we watching now? Obviously, commodity prices going way up. Stock market sell-off that started yesterday. That continues. I mean, Russia is not a major trading partner for us, but unless you like neon gas they use in computing or others, but Europe is a big trading partner with Russia, and obviously with NATO being comprised majority of European countries, it's going to be a big deal. So some of the ideas as we get started, I want to hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Like I mentioned earlier, Dr. Joe Savage from the University of Mobile is going to join us. He spent a lot of time in Ukraine working with orphans, but knows the country, knows the people, and we'll get our conversation with him going. And at some point here, we'll watch our time. Is there any update on it? Well, when we get the update on it, we'll go to the presser with President Biden to see what else we're going to roll out here. Yeah, as we move more troops and move from closer, I think American troops, they said, were within 12 miles of the Ukrainian-Polish border at this point, which they're going to be needed because the refugees streaming out of Ukraine, you've seen the videos, whether they're streaming the whole way across the country to Poland or Romania, or they're streaming localized from Western Ukraine, they're going into Poland, which I, you know, how Poland's going to deal with those folks, where they're going to put them, but the U.S. troops are there. And within 12 miles of the border, and Lviv, that has been bombed overnight, is within about 35 miles of the border. It puts our men and women pretty darn close. Now, to have them there to help the refugees, I think is a good thing. But what if the fighting breaks out on the border? What if the fighting spills into Poland? Now that's a NATO member. What do we do at that point? To have our troops so close to the borders of Ukraine in a NATO country, I think, is a very dangerous thing. I don't know if that will be addressed. I know that I think Blinken earlier said, well, we're not going to engage. We'll have no troops, you know, engaging inside Ukraine. We've heard this, though. I mean, this is how, you know, creep happens. I'm not saying they even feel like it. They want it to happen right now. You know, there are some that do. But war is a messy thing. It could drag all kind of people into it. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Come back. We'll get your calls at 343-0106. And like I said, when the pressure happens, we'll go to that. Plus, Dr. Joe Savage, who has spent time in Ukraine, will talk with us. It looks like people want to talk about, we'll probably wait for another show down the road to talk about the siege of Kiev back in 1240. We'll just talk about the siege of Kiev going on now in 2022. All right. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1226 FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile. The volume of information we have on today's show, just dive into it. It's constantly changing. Also, press conference supposed to happen sometime this hour from the White House. We'll go to that when it happens. And we'll get your text and calls at 343-0106. Also, just showed up here. Remember, we mentioned Poland in the first part of the hour. Now, the first Ukrainian refugees coming into Poland as of now. That's shown up. I mentioned the nuclear thing. Okay, two of them, kind of two stories ago, go oddly together. First of all, that threat, for what Putin is saying, the only thing that could fit there would be nuclear. Now, he did not say it officially, but he basically said anybody who gets in Russia's way with what they're doing will suffer let me quote super macho Vladimir Putin, is something to the fact of something they've never felt in war before. Yeah, here it is. Whoever tries to interfere with us, says Putin, and even more so to create threats for our country, for our people, should know that Russia's response will be immediate and will lead you to such a consequence that you have never experienced in your history. Well, with the exception of Japan, wouldn't that be nuclear? I mean, am I reading too far through that? Once again, we've been talking about it for weeks here, months here on the show. Nuclear power, Russia, lest you forget. Do I think Putin's going to launch nukes? I don't. I don't. At this point, I don't. But, I mean, that's the kind of language being thrown around. And then speaking of nuclear, I mentioned it before we went to the news. Now AP and Reuters and others saying officials say the Ukraine is no longer in control of Chernobyl. I don't other than it being a path through, I think it's the easiest way to get tanks and that kind of infrastructure from Belarus into the battlefields of the steppe of the Ukrainian steppe. I think that has to be the reason. Other than that, why do you want Chernobyl? Okay, AP story. I've not read this yet, but let's get it. Says presidential advisor says Ukraine lost control of Chernobyl nuclear site when Ukrainian forces waged a fierce battle with Russian troops. The advisor, Mykhailo Podolyak, told the AP that the Ukrainian authorities did not know the current condition of the facilities near Chernobyl, the site of the world's worst nuclear disaster. They said, after an absolutely senseless attack of Russians in this direction, it's impossible to say that the Chernobyl nuclear plant is safe. Right, because didn't they encase that where the reactor had melted down? To the loss of so many lives of the Russian military that was sent in there to work on it? Ukrainian President Zelensky's announced several hours earlier today that Russian forces were trying to seize Chernobyl, but now they're saying, I guess according to this AP story, the Russians are in control of Chernobyl. That nuclear reactor at a plant about 80 miles north of Kiev. I'll just keep saying Kiev until I change my habit. Wow. The Russians in control of Chernobyl. Missiles going everywhere. Hey. Why worry, huh? My gosh.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, too, the open house customer appreciation event continues today at Robertsdale Power Equipment. Had a big time out there yesterday. Good to see y'all. Good to always see Mr. Dwight, Miss Bonnie, Matt, the whole crew out there. Y'all get a chance to go by today, save on in-stock merchandise, get the factory reps there, and grab a little something to eat. Check it out. Robertsdale Power Equipment, Highway 59 South, right there at the split in Robertsdale. They have they're mic checking at the lectern there at the White House, which makes me think at any second we should be going to this address from President Biden. We'll go to that as soon as it happens here. David says on the text line, there's no such thing as innocent Russian civilians. They are the ones that put that evil tyrant into power, and they have done nothing to stop him or remove him. They are complicit co-conspirators, and they must be treated as such. All right, David, I'll put you down as undecided. Yeah, Supermom's talking about what about Russia taking over Chernobyl? Keep hearing about that. Yeah, I guess that was from earlier. Yeah, they have. I guess, and but that they were firing weapons around where they have sealed that. The only explanation I see, Supermom and others, that I'm reading, some of these correspondents in theater are saying that area there around Chernobyl is the fastest track. I'm not claiming to be an expert in this, but the fastest track to move the tanks in from Belarus. It's a better way for them to get by Chernobyl and come into the rest of the open steppe there in Ukraine. So Don says, good afternoon, Sean. I posed this question before, but I'd like your opinion. Do you think Biden wants this war and that it would last on into the 2024 election cycle? And thus being at war, would he not remain in power? I don't see that he's, at this point, Don, done anything that would give him the wartime president aura there. Do I think he wants the war? Does he want the distraction, Don? Absolutely. He wants a distraction from they're already starting to lump every economic problem in our country onto this war between Russia and Ukraine. So does he want the distraction? 100%. This is where I clash with a lot of other conservatives. I think there's a lot of moving of morals in Washington, but I'm, until shown otherwise, the idea that he would just on a lark or just for, not a lark, for political cover, send forces into American forces into a war. Because you know why I don't think he would do it either? Because it would be even worse than right now, the situation he's got us in now. So God hope he doesn't. But does he want the distraction from his failings? Absolutely. Leo says the inflation is strictly due to Democrats printing money and closing pipelines. And more people want to talk about, there's a Genghis Khan, was that a podcast? I probably have consumed that. I have a thing. I love reading about the Mongols big time. I mean, you can learn a lot from Mongols outside of bow shooting from a horse. You can learn a lot. Let's see. Yes. Somebody says play the Russians by Sting is bumper music. I have it queued up actually. That Us Children of the 80s, right? Lisa says, can I repeat that statement? I don't know which one. Lisa, can you help me with that? Matthew says, yeah, you blow up the container at Chernobyl and the radiation would spread across Europe and the world. I'm with you. So why'd they fight the battle there, you know? I mean, it seems like maybe that would be a case where both sides would say, okay, let's take the battle over here. But if, Matthew, also, if I know Russian forces don't want to do that, and I'm Ukrainian forces, and I'm going to hide probably around Chernobyl, wouldn't you? Maybe less of the big munition coming in. They would have to do it with infantry. It's a young kids that didn't remember Chernobyl. Just go Google that. It's a big deal. And it looks like the battle took place there. From what I'm getting right now, battle took place. Russians now in control of Chernobyl, and just the correspondent, the people on the in theater. Now, I'm getting a bunch of different people, so I'm not saying this is God's honest truth, but they're saying that it was pivotal because it was a tank route from Belarus into Ukraine. Travis says that falls into the line of his words that would scare war hawks worse than American military members dying. So my man Brandon says China is going to follow suit with Taiwan. Did you see this? Did I put that up on the Twitter feed? Which I hope y'all are following me, especially in times like this. This is when I don't just sit around on Twitter all the time because I got stuff to do. I check in a few times a day and see what's going on. But times like this, war, weather, I'm very busy at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. I think I put the story out. If I didn't, I will post it up, Brandon. Reuters and others. I'm looking at the Reuters story here. Taiwan warns Chinese aircraft in its defense zone. Saw that from this morning? Dateline Taipei. Taiwan's Air Force scrambled again on Thursday to warn away 9 Chinese aircraft that entered its air defense zone, according to Taiwan's defense ministry, on the same day that Russia invaded Ukraine. Yeah, these are the dominoes. These are what we've been talking about. These are possible. I mean, what would we do as a nation? Where focus there, and what if all of a sudden China, not a cyber, not a real attack on Taiwan? What would we do? I mean, if we could get a naval battle with the Chinese, which I know we could win, do we want that to go on in the South China Sea? Do we want to go on? Do we be in the Pacific in an engaged naval battle with Chinese vessels? What do we do? You know, this is why you project, honestly project strength out there so you don't end up in these situations. Well, we've seen what's happening here. And once, you know, once there's a little fissure in the dam, here comes the water through, right? Somebody else saying Russian flags raised in Ukraine. Yeah, seen that. Seen those pictures. Russian flag. They've taken quite a bit of space already here. I don't think this is near Chernobyl. I think this is another area. It says it's showing tank divisions in and Kharkiv in southern Ukraine. Yeah, well, they had that movement in there. They started that with, I think, an amphibious assault down there coming off the Black Sea as well. Let's see, lots of text. I'm trying to keep up with y'all here. So somebody responding to David earlier, but did the citizens of Russia put him into power, meaning Vladimir Putin? Unnamed texter, I'm kind of on your side there. They have their elections. You know they have the elections in Russia, right? We have these open elections, and look, Vladimir Putin wins again. What are you going to do? Crazy. Remember, like, his... What was that guy's name? One of his opponents that somehow got polonium poisoning? Because that's an everyday thing. Alan says, the reactors at Chernobyl have not been completely decommissioned. Uranium remains in the reactors. Only one reactor melted down. The other reactors continued to generate electricity for years. Thank you, Alan. Yeah, Travis says, we are Wolverines. I've seen that. I think there's a hashtag going on social media, Red Dawn. But this half of world, this is not us. Let's watch what's happening. But this is not us. This is Ukraine. All right. Going to the presser, President Biden addressing, and let's go straight to that.
Without provocation, without justification, without necessity, this is a premeditated attack. Vladimir Putin has been planning this for months, as we've been saying all along. He moved more than 175,000 troops, military equipment in positions along the Ukrainian border. He moved blood supplies into position and built a field hospital, which tells you all you need to know about his intentions all along. He rejected every good faith effort the United States and our allies and partners made to address our mutual security concerns through dialogue to avoid needless conflict and avert human suffering. For weeks, we have been warning that this would happen. And now it's unfolding largely as we predicted. In the past week, we've seen shelling increase in the Donbas, a region in eastern Ukraine controlled by Russian-backed separatists. The Russian government has perpetrated cyber attacks against Ukraine. We saw a staged political theater in Moscow, outlandish and baseless claims that Ukraine was about to invade and launch a war against Russia, that Ukraine was prepared to use chemical weapons, that Ukraine committed a genocide. Without any evidence, we saw a flagrant violation of international law in attempting to unilaterally create two new so-called republics on sovereign Ukrainian territory. And at the very moment that the United Nations Security Council was meeting to stand up for Ukraine's sovereignty, to stave off invasion, Putin declared his war. Within moments, missile strikes began to fall on historic cities across Ukraine. Then came the air raids, followed by tanks and troops rolling in. We've been transparent with the world. We've shared declassified evidence about Russia's plans and cyber attacks and false pretexts so that there could be no confusion or cover-up about what Putin was doing. Putin is the aggressor. Putin chose this war. And now he and his country will bear the consequences. Today, I'm authorizing additional strong sanctions and new limitations on what can be exported to Russia. This is going to impose severe costs on the Russian economy, both immediately and over time. We have purposely designed these sanctions to maximize the long-term impact on Russia and to minimize the impact on the United States and our allies. And I want to be clear, the United States is not doing this alone. For months, we've been building a coalition of partners representing well more than half the global economy. 27 members of the European Union, including France, Germany, Italy, as well as the United Kingdom, Canada, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and many others, to amplify the joint impact of our response. I just spoke with the G7 leaders this morning, and we're in full and total agreement. We will limit Russia's ability to do business in dollars, euros, pounds, and yen to be part of the global economy. We'll limit their ability to do that. We're going to stunt the ability to finance and grow the Russian military. We're going to impose major, and we're going to impair their ability to compete in high-tech 21st century economy. We've already seen the impact of our actions on Russia's currency and the ruble, which early today hit its weakest level ever in history. The Russia stock market plunged today. The Russian government borrowing rates spiked by over 15%. In today's actions, we've now sanctioned Russian banks that together hold around $1 trillion in assets. We've cut off Russia's largest bank, a bank that holds more than one-third of Russia's banking assets by itself, cut it off from the U.S. financial system. And today, we're also blocking four more major banks. That means every asset they have in America will be frozen. This includes VTB, the second largest bank in Russia, which has $250 billion in assets. As promised, we're also adding the names to the list of Russian elites and their family members that were sanctioned as well. As I said on Tuesday, these are people who personally gain from the Kremlin's policies, and they should share in the pain. We will keep up this drumbeat of those designations against corrupt billionaires in the days ahead. On Tuesday, we stopped the Russian government from raising money from U.S. or European investors. Now we're going to apply the same restrictions to Russia's largest state-owned enterprises, companies with assets that exceed $1.4 trillion. Some of the most powerful impacts our actions will come over time. As we squeeze Russia's access to finances and technology for strategic sectors of its economy and degrade its industrial capacity for years to come. Between our actions and those of our allies and partners, we estimate that we'll cut off more than half of Russia's high-tech imports. It will strike a blow to their ability to continue to modernize their military. It'll degrade their aerospace industry, including their space program. It'll hurt their ability to build ships, reducing their ability to compete economically. And it will be a major hit to Putin's long-term strategic ambitions. And we're preparing to do more. In addition to the economic penalties we're imposing, we're also taking steps to defend our NATO allies, particularly in the East. Tomorrow, NATO will convene a summit. We'll be there to bring together the leaders of 30 allied nations and close partners to affirm our solidarity and to map out the next steps we will take to further strengthen all aspects of our NATO alliance. Although we provided over $650 million in defensive assistance to Ukraine just this year, it's last year, let me say it again, our forces are not and will not be engaged in the conflict with Russia in Ukraine. Our forces are not going to Europe to fight in Ukraine, but to defend our NATO allies and reassure those allies in the East. As I made crystal clear, the United States will defend every inch of NATO territory with the full force of American power. And the good news is, NATO is more united and more determined than ever. There is no doubt that the United States and every NATO ally will meet our Article 5 commitments, which says that an attack on one is an attack on all. Over the past few weeks, I ordered thousands of additional forces to Germany and Poland as part of our commitment to NATO. On Tuesday, in response to Russia's aggressive action, including its troop presence in Belarus and the Black Sea, I've authorized deployment of ground and air forces already stationed in Europe to NATO's eastern flank allies, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, and Romania. Our allies have also been stepping up, adding the other allies, the rest of NATO, adding their own forces and capabilities to ensure collective defense. And today, within hours of Russia's unleashing its assault, NATO came together and authorized and activated an activation of response plans. This will enable NATO's high readiness forces to deploy and when and where they are needed to protect our NATO allies on the eastern boundaries of Europe. And now I'm authorizing additional U.S. force capabilities to deploy to Germany as part of NATO's response, including some of the U.S.-based forces that the Department of Defense placed on standby weeks ago. I've also spoken with Defense Secretary Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs General Milley about preparations for additional moves should they become necessary to protect our NATO allies and support the greatest military alliance in the history of the world, NATO. As we respond, my administration is using the tools, every tool at its disposal, to protect American families and businesses from rising prices at the gas pump. You know, we're taking active steps to bring down the cost, and American oil and gas companies should not exploit this moment to hike their prices to raise profits. You know, in our sanctions package, we specifically designed to allow energy payments to continue. We are closely monitoring energy supplies for any disruption. We've been coordinating with major oil producing and consuming countries toward our common interest to secure global energy supplies. We are actively working with countries around the world to elevate collective release from the strategic petroleum reserves of major energy consuming countries. And the United States will release additional barrels of oil as conditions warrant. I know this is hard and that Americans are already hurting. I will do everything in my power to limit the pain the American people are feeling at the gas pump. This is critical to me. But this aggression cannot go unanswered. If it did, the consequences for America would be much worse. America stands up to bullies. We stand up for freedom. This is who we are. Let me also repeat the warning I made last week. If Russia pursues cyber attacks against our companies, our critical infrastructure, we are prepared to respond. For months, we've been working closely with the private sector to harden our cyber defenses, sharpen our ability to respond to Russian cyber attacks as well. I spoke last night to President Zelensky of Ukraine, and I assured him that the United States, together with our allies and partners in Europe, will support the Ukrainian people as they defend their country. We'll provide humanitarian relief to ease their suffering. And in the early days of this conflict, Russia propaganda outlets will keep trying to hide the truth and claim success for its military operation against a made-up threat. But history has shown, time and again, how swift gains in territory eventually give way to grinding occupations, acts of mass civil disobedience, and strategic dead ends. The next few weeks and months, we hard on the people of Ukraine. Putin has unleashed a great pain on them. But the Ukrainian people have known 30 years of independence. They've repeatedly shown that they will not tolerate anyone who tries to take their country backwards. This is a dangerous moment for all of Europe, for the freedom around the world. Putin has committed an assault on the very principles that uphold the global peace. But now, the entire world sees clearly what Putin and his Kremlin allies are really all about. This was never about a genuine security concerns on their part. It was always about naked aggression, about Putin's desire for empire by any means necessary, by bullying Russia's neighbors through coercion and corruption, by changing borders by force, and ultimately by choosing a war without a cause. Putin's actions betray his sinister vision for the future of our world, one where nations take what they want by force. But it is a vision that the United States and freedom-loving nations everywhere will oppose with every tool of our considerable power. The United States and our allies and partners will emerge from this stronger, more united, more determined, and more purposeful. And Putin's aggression against Ukraine will end up costing Russia dearly, economically and strategically. We will make sure of that. Putin will be a pariah on the international stage. Any nation that countenances Russia's naked aggression against Ukraine will be stained by association. When the history of this era is written, Putin's choice to make a totally unjustifiable war on Ukraine will have left Russia weaker and the rest of the world stronger. Liberty, democracy, human dignity, these are the forces far more powerful than fear and oppression. They cannot be extinguished by tyrants like Putin and his armies. They cannot be erased by people from people's hearts and hopes by any amount of violence and intimidation. They endure. In the contest between democracy and autocracy, between sovereignty and subjugation, make no mistake, freedom will prevail. God bless the people of a free and democratic Ukraine. May God protect our troops.
Mr. President.
Associated Press, Zeke.
So do you have any plans to speak with President Putin at this point? And what interactions have you had with the Russian government?
I heard the first part. Do I have any plans to speak with Putin at this point? And what?
What communications have you had with the Kremlin as far as military operations in Ukraine and making sure this does not spiral into a larger conflict?
Well, it's a large conflict already. The way we're going to ensure it's not going to spiral to a larger conflict is by providing all the forces needed in the Eastern European nations that are members of NATO. NATO is more united than it's ever been. And I have no plans to talk with Putin. Wall Street Journal, Tarina.
Mr. President, you didn't mention SWIFT in your sanctions that you announced. Is there a reason why the U.S. Isn't doing that? Is there a disagreement among allies regarding SWIFT and whether Russia should be allowed to be a part of it?
The sanctions that we've proposed on all their banks have of equal consequence, maybe more consequence than SWIFT, number one. Number two, it is always an option, but right now that's not the position that the rest of Europe wishes to take. Cecilia Vega, ABC.
Sir, sanctions clearly have not been enough to deter Vladimir Putin to this point. What is going to stop him? How and when does this end? And do you see him trying to go beyond Ukraine? And a second question I'll just give to you now. This statement that he gave last night, the threat that he gave, the West will face consequences greater than any you have faced in history. Is he threatening a nuclear strike?
I have no idea what he's threatening. I know what he has done, number one. And number two, no one expected the sanctions to prevent anything from happening. This is going to take time, and we have to show resolve so he knows what's coming. And so the people of Russia know what he's brought on them. That's what this is all about. This is going to take time. It's not going to occur. He's going to sail.
All right. We'll keep our eyes on the back and forth on the press conference there. The nuclear question I thought was of interest as well. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.